Well, as you probably know already, the war in Afghanistan is the longest ever in the history of the United States. And August, this month that was just ending today, was the deadliest month ever in America's longest war. The country lost 66 troops this month. That includes the 30 lives lost during that helicopter crash on August 6th. Most of those soldiers killed were Navy SEALs. Joining us now is George J. Weiss, Jr., World War II veteran, founder of the Memorial Rifle Squad. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Can you tell us, first of all, what the Memorial Rifle Squad does?
Sir, we give military burials at Fort Snelling National Cemetery because the Army doesn't do it, the Marine Corps doesn't do it, or any other branch of the military. And we've been doing it for over 32 years now.
So, I mean, obviously, honoring those who've fallen in service of their country is your life's work at this point. And so knowing that we've just lost 66 troops in a 30-day span, what does that mean to you, sir?
Well, over the years, as you know, World War II veterans were dying at a very high rate per day. And we don't really get involved in the politics, I guess you can say, just the end results. We just, going back to an old statement, we take care of our own. And what the government does basically is the government's business. We just pick up the loose ends.
Oh, well, that's understood. George J. Weiss, Jr. is a World War II veteran, founder of the Memorial Rifle Squad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also with us, David Loyne, foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning, David.
Yeah, hello, Celeste.
Well, let's talk about Afghanistan. And first of all, let's talk about whether or not it still looks as though this war is winding down and that the U.S. troops are going to be leaving on time. Does it look like this is a war that's getting ready to end?
This is a political decision made in Washington and London and urged by President Karzai in Kabul that combat operations will end on December the 30th, 2014. That's the end of combat operations for, it is mainly U.S. forces supported by U.K. and other forces in Afghanistan. But there's a growing acceptance among the leaders, the commanders of that campaign, that they'll be handing over a war and not peace, that this is going to be a very messy wind-up of the war. There won't be a moment when you can say there's peace in Afghanistan brought by U.S. troops.
Well, let's talk for a moment about who they're handing it over to. We're speaking with David Loyne, foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC. A very interesting story coming out of your town there, David. Let's talk about the man you just mentioned, President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan. It looks as though, and explain the story to me, somebody's photograph with, I assume, a powerful telephoto lens, a document that they were not supposed to see. What happened?
Yeah, this is a cabinet minister, senior minister of the government, the International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell, was at a meeting of the National Security Council and a routine meeting of senior ministers at number 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's residence. He was photographed coming out with a file in his hand. On the front page of that file, you can clearly read his policy briefing for the meeting, including his handwritten notes on the side of it. There are two things that came out of that. One is that he welcomed the fact that President Karzai says that he won't try and stand for a third term. He won't try and amend the Afghan constitution. He has to stand down after two terms in 2014. And that the fact that Britain should have to welcome that and say that that's a very important political moment at a national security meeting, I think will be deeply embarrassing for the British government. There are pretty bad relations between, personal relations between Karzai and Britain for reasons that go right back to President Karzai's past and indeed to Britain's past in Afghanistan. We're the country he least wants to thank internationally, and he's never really hidden his distaste for Britain, despite the fact that Britain is the largest single contributor to his government's budget.
Well, I mean, again, we're also talking about the relationship between Britain and Afghanistan going back pre-Russia. This is Afghanistan has been
sure the two wars in the 19th century, and the fact that Britain ran Afghanistan, so it wasn't actually a formal part of the British Empire, but it was under the control of British India. They ran Afghan foreign policy,
right,
and really until the early 1920s.
But this troubled relationship, I mean, obviously the troubled relation you speak about between Britain and Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai doesn't doesn't necessarily have a real cozy relationship anymore with the United States either. He's done some things which have made the United States very happy and said some things about the United States which are not all that flattering. It appears as though the president of Afghanistan is distancing himself more and more from his Western partners.
I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, when you say Britain's troubled relationship with Afghanistan, it's not Afghanistan, it's personal with Karzai. And you're right that he is doing the same with the United States. Some of that is for domestic consumption. He stands up often in public and speaks quite emotionally about the civilian casualties, which he blames on international troops. And he's trying to sort of put himself forward as an Afghan nationalist. But no, you're right, he's a pretty difficult aid partner. He's certainly not the great statesman that people hoped and wanted when this project began. But, you know, the reason why the war is still going on and these great spikes of casualties are happening during the summer really shows the failure of that political project 10 years on and the waste of aid. And it's only really now that the United States in particular is beginning to address some of the wasted aid and the failure of politics in Afghanistan. And President Karzai's impatience is, I think, partly due to that.
His impatience to see Western partners go. We're speaking with David Loyne, who's a foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC. But it sounds, David, like what you're saying is no matter what, despite this relationship with Hamid Karzai, which is troubled to say the least, despite the fact that this is a country still at war, despite the fact that we just had the deadliest month ever for U.S. troops, the Western forces will withdraw, come hell or high water.
They will withdraw. They're partnering Afghan troops to try and take the war on against the Taliban. But aid will continue after 2014. But no, combat operations will stop.
And will Afghanistan be ready?
Well, there are hundreds of thousands of Afghan troops waiting. I mean, they're waiting to train them. They're trying to get them together. But, you know, they're not as good as the troops left by the Russians after their 10-year war in Afghanistan. And I think we should look back with some humility over this period and comparing with how the Russians did. They're trying to train Afghan army and Afghan police. Many of them, they can't even read. So this is the biggest challenge that they face, and it's the toughest one over the next 2 or 3 years.
David Loyne, foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC, talking about the conflict in Afghanistan, where the United States just had its deadliest month ever for U.S. troops.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.